Scalpel with Dr. Keith Rose. Cutting down to the truth through history and experience. The Scalpel is proudly sponsored by Z-Bone's Bone Conducting Headphones. Learn more at zbones.io. Subscribe to The Scalpel wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Instagram at The Scalpel Podcast, on Twitter at The Scalpel Edge. Email kfr@scalpeledge.com or the website scalpeledge.com. The next episode of The Scalpel starts now.
Welcome back to The Scalpel. This is Dr. Keith Rose. We're going to continue our series on convincing controversies. Convincing controversies are what the new Democrat Party, which is really what Democrat is to progressive, what progressive is to socialist, and what socialist is to communist, because that's your new Democrat Party. Your new Democrat Party that believes that they can lie to you and tell you don't believe your lying eyes, that they can swindle you by telling you don't believe what you're seeing, you'll believe what we tell you, or what our sycophants in the media tell you, or what our lockstep ideological movie stars and professional athletes tell you, but you can't believe your lying eyes. And I'm sure myself, like a lot of Americans, are looking today and we feel like we're in a desert and we only want an oasis of truth. We only want to find truth. We want to drink from that fountain. We want people to tell us that they see what's going on. Yet our media is on a 24/7 cycle, pounding the American people with mistruth, lie, in order to swindle their freedom. And anyone that dares speak up is immediately ostracized, kicked out, canceled. But I'm not having any of it, and I'm not going to be quiet. I'm not going to fall for a convincing controversy. Because like Alexander Solzhenitsyn said when he defected to the West, live not by lies, and I'm not going to live by them. But I see what's going on today, and I can relate it to a story that my father read to me when I was a young child. And he read it to me, and full disclosure, I have an amazing father who taught me to read when I was very young and gave me book after book and let me travel in my mind at an early age because we really didn't have the money to travel that much. And he would give me books on the Bible. He would give me the Bible to read. He would also give me fictional books to read. And one night when I was very young, he read to me this story because he wanted to teach me something. He wanted to teach me to stand by the courage of my convictions and not follow the crowd. And the story he told me started off, there were two swindlers who arrived at a capital city of an emperor who spends lavishly on clothing at the expense of all other state matters. This ruler loved clothes. So these two swindlers, posing as weavers, offered to supply this ruler with magnificent clothes that are invisible to those who are stupid or incompetent. The emperor, being so full of himself, hires them immediately, and they set up their clothing looms, the machines they use to make the invisible clothes, and they go to work. And a succession of officials came to watch their progress, including the emperor himself, would visit just to see how it was going. Every time they visited, they would see that the looms are empty, but they all pretended to otherwise notice that in order to avoid being thought a fool. Finally, the weavers report that the emperor's suit, this fine cloak, is finished. And they mime, they pretend to dress him in this fancy suit that was invisible. And then the emperor sets off in a procession before the whole city to show off his new clothes. Now, the townsfolk were uncomfortable, but they went along with it. They went along with the pretense because they had a fear. They didn't want to appear to be inept or stupid. And that continued along the entire procession until a small child blurted out that the emperor is naked and wearing nothing at all. At that moment, the people then realized that everyone has been fooled. And although startled, while everyone else realized the scam, the emperor continued the procession, walking even more proudly than ever in his invincible ignorance. But he had no clothes. When my dad told me this story, he related it to a fact that people with a large vocal mouthpiece, or people that some people would say things and try to get the crowds to go along, even though they're clearly not true. And when you get a mob or a crowd to go along with a lie, it just grows and grows and becomes a tidal wave of, I don't know, disinformation approved by the masses, because everyone is afraid to say the emperor has no clothes. The reason I'm telling you this story is because it's exactly what is happening in 2021 in the United States of America. It started earlier and picked up speed, and I believe it started really severely back around January when we were told that a unusual, strange virus had visited our shores, the Wuhan, China coronavirus. And from that, we started what I call the fear lockdown fear cycle, where we were told to be afraid by the clothing makers and the mainstream media that made cloth out of invisible material. They had their loom spinning, telling us this is something to be very, very afraid of. Now, they ignored actual science and actual papers that had been written. Yet they continued to manufacture those clothes and cover the American public with this invisible cloth, causing fear. And then the politicians wanting to get their inner Maduro on, especially the local state politicians and local county politicians, went into lockdown mode. So you had fear, then you had lockdown, and then they continued the fear, lockdown, fear cycle, and that's where we find ourselves in several states, even today. But a few folks have had the courage of a small child to point out that the emperor has no clothes. And I will tell you, I pray that I'll always be one of those people that will see truth and talk about it, or say the emperor is naked. And right now, folks, the emperor is naked when it comes to COVID-19. The emperor is naked when it comes to President Biden. The emperor is naked when it comes to the progressive Democrat Party that is trying to drag our nation into the sewer and not lift it up as the great nation it is, but drag it down to just be another landmass on this big marble that we live on. And I, for one, will not go quietly into the night. I will not speak out. Like Solzhenitsyn, I refuse to live by lies. Now, I know a lot of you are scared. I know a lot of you are worried about being canceled. You're concerned about your job. And I would remind you, you may not have the courage to speak the truth, but you should absolutely have the conviction not to repeat the lie. The first lie that was repeated over and over again is that we have a virus that is so unusual, so horrific, it defies science, literally, that we're going to treat this virus different than we ever have before. And that see-through shirt was placed on the United States of America, and a lot of people were saying, it looks good, when in reality, real people suffered. We now know that this so-called coronavirus, and it is a virus, and it is deadly and bad. However, the response to it and the, quote, experts that told us about it were nothing more than snake oil salesmen, were nothing more than clothiers that make clothing out of invisible cloth and tell you that it's fabulous, it's amazing, and if you don't see it, you're just an idiot. You're just wrong. You're just racist. You're just a bigot. You don't believe the science, although there was no science in making that shirt. Because we now know that this virus that we supposedly discovered in January of 2020 was actually discovered in December in 2019 in Wuhan. We know that, and we know that Dr. Fauci and the NIH knew that because Judicial Watch has now proven that. And we'll have that link in our show notes. But in short, Dr. Fauci and the NIH knowingly and repeatedly lied about the time of first discovery and diagnosis. And it is documented that this was known in February and early March and not disclosed. We also know now with scientific certainty that the virus was in the U.S. no later than the second week of December because of the antibodies that were found in blood donations and in cord blood of women that delivered children in January. And this, along with sequencing back computation that was performed, there is now estimates that the virus could have even entered the U.S. sometime back in October of 2019. And it has already been scientifically proven, not the, you know, trust the science, but the actual science, the actual clothing that has fabric that is woven out of truth, showed that it infected about 1.5% of our population, or roughly 4 million people in the United States, by the second week of December 2019. So this means that we had a widespread disease which was blamed on something else. But indeed, we handled all 4 million of those cases just fine, up until the hysteria started, when the clothing makers decided to make something out of whole cloth with no fabric. Most of you didn't even know 4 million people got sick, and those who died of it existed prior to the hysteria that is being ginned up today. But it didn't stop the pretend clothing makers. It didn't stop the so-called experts from saying us at first just 15 days to slow the spread. But now we already know that's patently false because the virus was already all over this country. And then they came out and said, just give us 30 more days. Remember, this is now 6 weeks into slow the spread when they said that. And it was false again because, again, the NIH and Dr. Fauci knew there was no possible way to, quote, contain the coronavirus. But then these expert clothing makers, our scientific experts, the ones that at least Brian Stelter, CNN, MSNBC, and the liberal progressive elites quoted, said lockdowns and restrictions worked and saved lives, but now a peer-reviewed journal entry demonstrates that that is an exception fallacy. And not only did they not save lives, they cost the lives of many others due to drug overdoses, depressions, and suicide. As a physician, it really blew my mind early in this problem when I realized that we were treating the dispersion of an infectious agent across our nation, and we attempted to lock down people and and impose these non-pharmaceutical interventions, knowing that they were futile and they would cause harm, because we ignored decades of hard-won experience. And I believe they ignored it intentionally. The Democrat Party had to ignore it intentionally, because they had a very popular president, President Trump. We had a booming economy. We had record low unemployment. We had record job growth in urban areas. And economically depressed areas and minority communities were being lifted up in a booming economy. And I believe the Democrat Party looked at that and said, we can't have that. So we need to call the clothing makers. We're going to have to build a suit. Now, this suit's not going to be made of anything but what we tell you it's made of. But it's okay, because we have the best marketing involved. We have the best marketing wing you can imagine. We have the entire mainstream media that will tell you, don't believe your lying eyes. That same media, quoting those same bureaucrat scientists, said, we don't have enough ventilators, but we actually did. Then they said ventilators are needed so they will save lives, and now we know that's not true. Actually, patients put on ventilators didn't do well. Most of those died. They went on to say asymptomatic transmission is a major risk. We can't, and kids are a major vector, and we can't go back to school. And when they said that, they were making that shirt out of just completely transparent cloth. While if they looked around the world, they would have seen that there were papers coming out left and right, scientific papers that showed not only were children not super spreaders, but asymptomatic patients didn't spread it either. The only problem is they had to go with the suit they were making, because that suit had a purpose. That suit was to keep and maintain power, and standing in their way was President Trump. And they could have none of that. Hence, the convincing controversy that never stopped. And I could go on and on about the lies that we were told during COVID, but I will like to stop on one in particular. And that's, we didn't and don't have early treatment options that work. And I will tell you, as a physician, that is patently false. And we know it's patently false now, because we have multiple studies that show hydroxychloroquine works, and works brilliantly. Yet 1 year prior, March 19, 2020, during a press briefing, President Trump announced that the clinical trials for new therapeutics were already underway, and this was promising, and that the lockdowns had only recently started, and we just didn't know as much about COVID-19 as we do now. But in that same briefing, our president, President Trump, mentioned a small French study that found anti-malarial drugs, chloroquine and hydroxychloroquine, that showed promise as a potential treatment for COVID-19. And he directed the FDA to fast-track clinical trials and approve them as therapeutics. Matt Margulies reported on this in PJ Media. Came out on the other day on the one-year anniversary of this press conference. And it was good news for the American people, or for people that understood actual clothing, actual science, actual truth. But since President Trump mentioned it, the media immediately went into full attack mode. The president peddles snake oil and false hope, wrote the USA Today editorial board. To fight coronavirus, President Donald Trump is adopting the audacity of false hope, claims CNN. But now we know the rest of the story, hat tip Paul Harvey. We know, because myself and thousands of other doctors have seen hydroxychloroquine benefit many who chose to take it early in their disease state. And we know that the papers that were hastily written saying that hydroxychloroquine didn't work, those articles were retracted. or they were shown to be done in studies that in no way actually evaluated the efficacy of hydroxychloroquine. But had the Democrats and the media cared more about saving lives than the presidential election, more people would have been comfortable taking hydroxychloroquine as treatment, and I believe more people would still be alive today. And we would also have clinical trials to show that. Because the FDA, the CDC, they did nothing to fast-track the study of hydroxychloroquine. In fact, they ran in the opposite direction, according to all reports. And they ignored studies that showed it worked and pretended not to hear anecdotal evidence from patients who were successfully treated and doctors that had used that medication. They just wanted to put on that invisible set of clothes. They just wanted to walk around and let everyone tell them how great they looked while people died in this nation that shouldn't have. I'm a surgeon, and I tell patients a lot, I may have to hurt you, but I won't harm you. Some of the truth I'm telling you today may hurt you, but it won't harm you. The only thing that can harm you is if you ignore the truth and tell the emperor he looks great in his new suit. Now we understand a lot more about COVID-19 right now, but we're still getting lies coming out at a cyclic rate that the new strains will cause another spike even worse than the last one. Yet we're not seeing that. We've had documentation of prevalence of several new strains, but we don't have an increase in number of deaths. We don't have that at all. And we know that the communities and states that have opened up and are not locked down have a lower death rate than the communities that are still in full lockdown. I mean, I live in the great state of Texas, and we were told that dropping the mask order a few weeks ago, we would have a bloodbath, quote unquote, from the mainstream media saying how many people would die from the coronavirus. But the truth is the cases fell by 28% in the next 2 weeks. So the histrionic historians, so-called experts, follow the science, clear clothing crowd, we're wrong again. But we're told we got to still social distance and buy enough time for the vaccines to work. But the only problem is the actual data shows cases and hospitalizations are going down. We're developing an immunity. Now, there's a whole lot more information coming out right now about the vaccines, and I'm not going to dive deep in it today, but I do believe a convincing controversy is brewing over the vaccine. Because the vaccine was rushed and it got an emergency use authorization because there was nothing to treat the coronavirus with. So they had to develop a vaccine. Of course, hydroxychloroquine did show that it worked early, but that was ignored. And the same people that lied and made those see-through clothes for the population over and over again are now telling us that we have to be vaccinated. And the safety of this approach is unproved. And the fact that the rate of deaths closely associated with these vaccines is wildly higher than that associated with any other routinely given vaccination, including the flu and chickenpox. And again, I may hurt you, but I won't harm you. The immediate and longer-term effects of this approach, including the possibility of long-term or even permanent damage as a result of systemically hijacking your cellular metabolism to produce that foreign protein, are unknown. And unlike a mask you can remove, you cannot untake a shot. And the litany of those previous lies killed over 400,000 Americans who otherwise would not have died. And the same people that are telling us that the shot is safe are the same people that lied repeatedly to us about the necessity for it. Now, I don't know how good the vaccine is or isn't, but I can read And, you know, if the media ever wants to check this out, they can just look at the actual numbers, because currently the media claims that nobody has been killed by these vaccines. Yet Bayer's, V-A-E-R-S, Google it, the CDC's own reporting data, which is public, shows roughly 2,000 associated deaths so far from the COVID-19 vaccination. And to put that in perspective, the number of annual deaths from the flu shot last year, the vaccinations from the flu shot, which shipped roughly 170 million doses, was 26. That means COVID-19 shots are associated thus far with roughly 75 times, or 7,500%, for all you Democrats out there, as many deaths as last year's entire set of flu vaccines. And remember, we give flu vaccines to old and morbid people, just like the first priority for COVID-19 vaccines. So these should produce a similar associated rates if they are similarly safe. And also, I would add that the VAERS reporting is voluntary, which means there may be some complications that weren't even reported. So I would just tell you, as a physician, if you've already been infected with COVID-19, you already have broad immunity, and there is zero scientific evidence at this date that vaccination can be of any value to you. And that's a shirt you can put on and look at in the mirror. But the convincing controversy goes on. The only problem is this convincing controversy of COVID-19 has hit a major road bump. A major rock in the road, because now President Biden and the Democrat Party have open borders. They're opening our borders to Central and South America and letting people across at a rapid rate. And a lot of these people have COVID-19, yet they're not being screened, stopped, or isolated. Just to put this simply, they're not being treated by CDC recommendations. In fact, the administration just says we don't even have to pay attention to that. And that should concern every American. Because I'm not so concerned about COVID-19 coming across the border as I am the other communicable diseases. Like one that's very high on the world Health Organization's list of dangerous diseases, and that's drug-resistant tuberculosis. And we're already seeing those patients come across with it. And when anyone speaks up, when anyone says, hey, you can't do this, they're immediately shamed, canceled, or just cut off from communication. They're digitally whitewashed by the social media sites. And the COVID-19 pandemic and the lockdowns have not only been devastating for our society, but the long-term ramifications of what's going on right now will have a chilling effect on our entire scientific community. Because, and I've spoken about this over and over again, for science to thrive, opposing ideas must be openly and vigorously discussed. They can either be supported, countered, but it has to be done on scientific merit. Yet the faux tailors that spin the invisible cloth. Instead, some politicians, journalists, and also, alas, I believe, unscrupulous scientists have engaged in vicious slander of, I guess we would call them, the dissident scientists. They might even include me in that, spreading damaging conspiracy theories, even with open calls for censorship in the place of debate. And in many cases, eminent scientific voices have been effectively silenced with gutter techniques and tactics. People who oppose lockdowns have been accused of having blood on their hands. And several professors and doctors have had their university positions threatened, with many of my colleagues choosing to stay quiet rather than face the mob. And it's that same mob that tells you the emperor looks great in his new suit while he walks around buck naked. And currently our nation is without protection, without clothes. We're walking around naked, and true science is being squelched. And no free society can last when this happens. We're seeing the devastating effects of this convincing controversy on COVID-19 continue because child suicide is becoming a, quote, international epidemic. Because of, quote, pandemic life and lockdowns. There's a great article in fee.org, and I'll put this in our show notes, but I'm just going to summarize it and say children are dying because they're becoming depressed, they're committing suicide, they're having drug overdoses, because the fear, lockdown fear, which allows an unscrupulous political party to keep and maintain power, unscrupulous governments to push forward a globalist agenda, those real life consequences usually happen on the most vulnerable, i.e., the children. And the children are suffering. They're suffering as they come across the border because they've been told that the borders are open for children. And we've paused construction on the border wall. And that pause of construction of President Trump's border wall is costing taxpayers, you know, $6 million per day while construction sites sit idle. This was reported by Breitbart, Texas. But at the same time, while we're paying $6 million a day to not build the wall that the American people voted for, we are spending billions on support for illegal aliens and minors that are crossing the border. And this has become a humanitarian crisis. Yet the powers that be in government don't want you to see anything. And if you say anything, you better say, that suit looks great. I love that lapel. Look at that pin. What a nice tie. Look at his shoes. While the emperor struts around naked, and the emperor being the narrative. And the American people suffer. And those that seek to come here are suffering. And we have gone from organized, controlled border crossings during President Trump's time to absolute chaos. And the Biden administration is just pouring fuel on that flame to continue the chaos. When is it going to stop? When are Americans going to stand up and say, the emperor has no clothes? If we don't, our country will be destroyed. Remember, I may hurt you, but I won't harm you. Because Christmas came early. Recently, after this massive spending bill for millions of illegal immigrants in the form of a COVID-19 stimulus check up to $1,400, according to a new analysis. The Center for Immigration Studies on Monday estimated that at least 2.1 million illegal immigrants could be eligible for $4.38 billion wired directly into their checking accounts. Just like hundreds of millions of legal residents and citizens who started receiving checks last week. Furthermore, the Mayorkas gag order, that's from the head of Homeland Security, I guess, on our nation's heroic border agents and ICE officers should be the subject of an immediate congressional investigation. And thank God Senator Ted Cruz and some other lawmakers have gone down to the border. Yet if you saw the video the other day, someone from the Biden administration, one of their workers, was standing in front of Senator Cruz trying to prevent him from videoing the tragic situation. I guess you could say she was jumping up in front of his phone camera saying, that's a beautiful suit. It looks great. Look how nice his shoes are. While Senator Cruz videoed the stark nakedness of the situation and where children were stacked up in squalor and terrible conditions. And President Trump came out and said it the other day. He said, but it's clear that the Biden administration, and I'm paraphrasing, is engaged in a huge cover-up to hide just how bad truly things are. President Trump talked about completing the wall instead of just, I don't know, paying to have it sit there. But President Trump, for all the grief that was given him, his clothes are solid because he said that the Biden administration are causing the death of and are causing death and human tragedy. In addition to the obvious drugs that are pouring into our country at a record levels from the southern border, not to mention human and sex trafficking. And this administration's reckless policies are enabling and encouraging crimes against humanity. Let me repeat, our country is being destroyed. Anyone that's listened to the Scalpel knows I like to look back at history. I like to look back at people that stood in the times when the narrative took over a country in some of the darkest hours. And one of those people was someone that I have a great affinity for, and that's Britain's Prime Minister Winston Churchill. And on October 29th, 1941, a year after one of the darkest hours of World War II for Great Britain, Prime Minister Winston Churchill addressed his alma mater, Harrow School. Here emerged one of the most famous quotes. Never give in. Never give in. Never, 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 never. In nothing great or small, large or petty, never give in. Except to the convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy. And this quote will hopefully embolden you and encourage you and strengthen you as it did the Brits and their allies as they fought one of the gravest evils to darken the steps of mankind. Remember, evil never changes. It just finds more ways to perpetuate itself. And we are repeatedly instructed by God's word to overcome evil with good. And there is so much evil in our society and around the world. Much of what we read, see, and hear glorifies evil and calls the good evil. Shutting down businesses because of COVID, but letting tens of thousands of illegal immigrants with no COVID restrictions cross is wrong. Spending trillions of your hard-earned tax dollars on pet programs and social expansion, mortgaging your children's futures, legalizing illegal election activities, stacking the voting process against leftist opposition, putting China first because of self-enrichment, labeling Christians and conservatives as bigots, racists, and domestic terrorists, abusing our children with gender identification brainwashing, shutting down our oil and gas so prices on everything rise, and the list goes on and on. They won't quit because it's wrong and it's evil. And when there is no more free speech or freedom of the press, evil perpetuates and grows. And the only way to stop it is to stand up and say, the emperor has no clothes, and I'm not going to be quiet anymore. I would like to say that our Republican so-called leaders would stand up and speak stronger, but save a scant few. Most of them are hypocrites. And if you look up the word hypocrite in the Greek, it means actor or voice behind the mask. And I think that's pretty apropos for what we're seeing today. But the Democrats are going from order to chaos. Order while we had President Trump, complete chaos under a dysfunctional and probably completely incapacitated President Biden, from sequence to disruption, divide, split, separate, and confuse. And once that happens, then they'll rush in with their tailors and offer a solution to this man-made disaster that they did. We can't let it happen. I believe we're going to have to go back to the old Roman maxim, which holds true still today. Si vis pacem, para bellum. If you want peace, prepare for war. And there is a moral war that is being conducted against that which is good. It has its roots in evil or Satan. But Satan has no power unless people give him legal entry, which much of society has. And I would encourage you to guard your heart. We need to protect our families. We need to stand in the gap as examples and not yield to this 21st century brand of morality. When these examples of evil come before us, we should point them out and use them to educate others about discernment and right thinking. We need to be proactive and with ourselves to ensure that the evil's battlefield, Satan's battlefield, whatever you want to call it, our minds are focused on the good thoughts of God. And we need to be leaders for what is right and good in our families and with our friends. Never give in. We must be willing to stand. We must not give in. Psalms 94, 16 and 17 says, "Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence." I want to encourage you to be silent no more. Let us be stronger than those who usurp the will of the people and are drunk on their own power. Ephesians 6, 12, 13 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." I want to encourage you to pray. I want to encourage you to act. I want to encourage you to stand. I want you to speak boldly. Don't look at others and say they will take care of it. Look at yourself and take action. Never give in. Thanks for spending some time with me today. I pray you have a great week. I'm going to try to get several podcasts out this week and look at some more convincing controversies. Be brave. Be bold. Call a lie, never give in, and most importantly, we have to keep freedom rolling.
Head high, protest line, freedom scribbled on your sign. Headline, New York Times, standing on the edge of a revolution. Hey, hey, just obey, your secret's safe with the NSA. In God we trust, or the CIA. Standing on the edge of a revolution.
The Scalpel with Dr. Keith Rose.
The Scalpel is proudly sponsored by Z-Bones Bone Conducting Headphones. Learn more at zbones.io. Give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts and subscribe to The Scalpel wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Instagram at The Scalpel Podcast, on Twitter at The Scalpel Edge, email kfr@scalpeledge.com, or the website scalpeledge.com.